Rolling Tide. All right, folks, here we go. Another week is coming gone. Well, actually, we're another week in, actually. I keep thinking this is the look back. Not the look back, the other show. But anyway, I hope y'all enjoyed y'all Thanksgiving. Hopefully y'all ate, didn't get too sick. Then obviously y'all shopped and didn't shop till you dropped, as they say, and enjoyed the college. Like I said, congratulations to teams like Michigan and stuff. Of course, before the end of this season, we'll look into the college championship situation, because that's what we do here. So, but it's the NFL, it's the big show, week 12. Like I said, already six teams have already played since Thanksgiving. Now the rest of the league is out here playing here today, including the Eagles, with a big matchup on Sunday night as they try to win their 10th game of the year. But obviously, a lot to go over. We have two unanimous picks, though one of them has been overruled because of the time. But the first one is obviously we can both agree, Miami beating Houston today.
Yeah, Miami will definitely beat Houston. And one thing, though, man, we'll talk about it on Wednesday, obviously, but freaking Cowboys and Giants are killing me with these picks, bro. Brutal. You know, I picked the Cowboys giving up 10, and, you know, they had it covered and let up a touchdown with, what, like 2 seconds left in the game?
Oh, wow. I just realized, that ain't only 1-8.
Yeah. Yeah, so, spoiler alert, I'm going to keep picking. I'm now going to pick a game, either a Cowboys or Giants game, until I get one right, even if it costs me the...
Oh, wow. That's not smart.
It's not smart, but now it's at the point that I have to get one right. I can't get past it at this point, man. You know?
Yeah, this division obsession. All right, well... Now the Rams and the Chiefs obviously has a big point spread, but we've been officially overruled and we have to predict this game, apparently, because of the prime game in Fox's doubleheader. So we have to pick that game.
With the Rams and Chiefs, right? Yeah. I'm just going to give
15.5 points.
Yeah. I mean, the Chiefs are going to crush them. The Rams are finished. Their season's over, so Chiefs are going to kill them.
Yeah, all right, well.
So I'll go with the Chiefs, and I'm going to put the final score here at, I'm going to say 38-16.
Yeah, I don't like the Rams' chances either. Like I said, Stafford, I don't think he's going to play. There's rumors he isn't. I don't know. Mahomes is just going to roll. So I got the Chiefs rolling as well. I'd say about 35-17, maybe. All right, well, like I said, we have a lot to get to here. Obviously, it's a new era, so I don't have time to trade this time, but still, we're going to do what we have to do as quickly as we can before you get to the 1 o'clock kickoff. So the first matchup we will do here is not, it's the sexiest matchup on our board, not. Obviously, for Russell Wilson, it's a team he's had a lot of battles with in the past when he was a Seahawk, but now he's a Bronco, and it's been a disastrous year for him. Carolina obviously got the word today about their ex-head coach getting a new job, but obviously hindering the $40 million they owed him for the next couple of years. So, but this is a big matchup for, at least for the Broncos, who still have an outside, though very slim, but a very much an outside chance to still try to get into the postseason, but it looks very unlikely. So, interesting matchup here early, Denver and Carolina, if you even care. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is a terrible game, so I'm just going to pick the game for you. I'm going to say Denver actually pulls one out. They at least have a really good defense, even if that offense is terrible. So Denver pulls it out. Final score, 20-10.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only good thing about the Broncos is their defense is one of the better ones. They're 10th overall in the league, and they're doing well, but like I said, this offense is so putrid, it's terrible. It's hard to even look at, so sometimes. And we're talking about Russell Wilson, but it's been a disappointing year for them. I obviously for Carolina, we expected them to be disappointing. But at the end of the day, I agree with you. I think Denver wins this game in a way. Final score, 23-16. All right, we're going to go. We'll go to the other matchup here in the West here today. Seahawks and the Raiders. Like I said, the Seahawks coming off of a bye. Obviously, they lost their lead in the division to 49ers. If we want to see how they respond here, Geno Smith and all of them. First time at home in a while, I think. We'll see what's up there. The Raiders obviously are coming off of a surprising win, a clutch win on the road. They swept the Broncos for the season, so if they're protected from not finishing dead last in the division, but still, they're terrible. They're not going anywhere either. So, but a big matchup here in the late afternoon with Seattle still thinking about the division, while the Raiders are just thinking about just a win. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, this was my other pick from this week from our Wednesday call, and this is also my lock of the week. Getting to it early this week, man. Seattle's giving up 4 points here to the Raiders. The Raiders, they've lost 5 road games this year, and 4 of them have been by one score or less. Well, 1 score, I should say. But this is Seattle, you know. This is a tough place to play, and the Raiders aren't a good team. Seattle is actually good this year, thanks to the career resurgence of Geno Smith. And Seattle's in a good spot right now, man. They've had a lot of road games this first half of the season, but they got 7 games left, and 5 of them are at home. Like I said, Geno Smith is playing great, and they also have the potential rookie of the year here in Ken Walker at running back, and he's tied with Derrick Henry for most touchdown runs since week 5 with 7, which is basically when he actually started games. Only other thing with this one, it is supposed to rain, so that could throw a wrench in the team's passing game, but I don't think it's going to matter, man. Seattle, even if it's raining, they're just going to lean on Ken Walker and let him do the work. And if it's not raining, I expect Geno Smith to have a good game. So either way, Seattle's going to get the victory. They're going to cover. And I'm going to put the final score here at, I'm going to say, 30-21.
Yeah, well, it rains in Seattle every day, it seems like.
Yeah, I know, right?
But like I said, this matchup, obviously, you know, it's not a sexy matchup. There's a lot of non-sexy matchups here today. But like I said, the Raiders are coming off of a surprising win at the end, a game that Denver blew. And obviously, they're still technically alive in this wild card chase, but they need some help. They're going to have to start getting going here in the second half of the season. Like Seattle, like I said, they've played a lot of tough games. You know, they're coming off of their bye. I just think that they're going to be more rested and comfortable. They're going to be at home. That crowd's going to be hostile. I expect Seattle to do the job here. I don't think, you know, Raiders are going to be competitive enough or good enough to hang on. So I'm going to go with the Seahawks as well here. And the final score, 34-24. All right. Well, my Ravens are next. They don't have a tough road test, but it is an interesting one. Obviously, they're playing Jacksonville, who still sucks. They're not a good team, but remember, it is Jacksonville. They're much better coach than last year, and obviously, they have a quarterback of the future. So, for the Ravens, this, even though this is not really a trap game-like deal, it's a deal where if they don't take this team lightly, they'll be going home upset. So, big matchup here, coming up here soon. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to get too crazy with this game because, I mean, it's Jacksonville. They're terrible. But, I mean, Baltimore should be able to beat them easily. The only thing that I will say that's a little bit weird is the spread on this game is just 3.5 points, which, you know, I mean, for a Ravens-Jaguars matchup, even though it is in Jacksonville. Maybe Vegas knows something, and they think it's going to be a tight one and possibly an upset, but I'm not going to pick an upset here. I'm going with Baltimore, and I'm going to go with the easy win here. So I'm going to say final score is going to be 33-13.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm a little nervous about this matchup. Jacksonville is a team that will play you tough despite the record. And obviously, you know, they do have a quarterback in Trevor Lawrence that will obviously be a big-time player in the next couple of years. Like I said, for the Ravens, everything seems like everything's good. And Lamar Jackson, but they have some injuries. They don't have much receivers. You know, Mark Andrews has been questionable throughout the week with his injury. But Gus Edwards, you know, I think he's out. So, I mean, it's going to be tough here for them to maneuver. But I think that they'll have a chance here. I think, you know, unlike you, I don't think this is going to be a blowout. I think there's a reason why Vegas has this as a three-point spread, because I expect it to be tough and tight. So, I mean, even Jacksonville has a shot. I'll even say this, Jacksonville actually has a shot here today. But I'm not going to go against my Ravens to get a lesser opponent, no matter where it's at. So I'm going to go with the Ravens here, and the final score, 23-20.
Okay.
All right, we're going to go. Well, there's been a lot of live talks here, a lot of controversy. I mean, it wasn't the loss that bugged everybody. It's the fact that Zach Wilson ran his mouth and got very cocky. He thought he could be Aaron Rodgers to get away with it with cockiness, but he's not Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't have the pedigree anywhere close to it. His cockiness has cost him his job, at least for now. He will be on the bench today. Mike White will be taking over for him today, at least. And they're playing the Bears team that, even though they're struggling and they're not very good, has played very tough over the last several weeks. And that's obviously thanks to Justin Fields. Unfortunately, he got injured last week in the Atlanta game, and he is out for this game. So this is one of my locks this week, so I'm a little nervous about this one. Obviously, the Jets are a team that's been rolling over the last several weeks. If you take away the New England Patriots, they've won the last six games or something like that. So, the last five games, actually. So, this is an interesting matchup here. Big matchup here for two teams with different quarterbacks than what they thought they were going to have a week ago. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, the key with this one, I mean, Zach Wilson is benched, but Mike White's a confident quarterback. He's not great, but, you know, they got some weapons there on offense, so they should be, the Jets should be fine, especially for this one game. But the key for the big thing with this one is obviously, like you said, Justin Fields is out. I mean, without him, I don't think he's a good quarterback anyway, but he is a great athlete, and we've seen that over the last few weeks with him running the ball. He can't really pass the ball all that great, but, you know, he's been helping to keep them in games with his legs. But without him, they got nothing on offense, man. They got nothing, and their defense isn't exactly great either. So the Jets are going to win this one, and I don't want to keep picking blowouts, but I do think it's going to be at least a two-score victory for the Jets. So I'm going to go with the Jets here. I'm going to say 27-9 final score.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this was one of my locks this week. Obviously, I thought that, you know, Fields would play, and obviously the line is 7, and I thought that, you know, it would cover that. But unfortunately, he's out. He's out today. I don't know who their backup is.
I think it's Trevor Siemian.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Yeah, like I said, he and what's his name go everywhere, it seems like. He and Andy Dalton, they just go anywhere nowadays.
Yeah.
Trevor Siemian, like I said, we'll see how it goes. You know, and the fact is that Chicago doesn't even have a defense either, so this could be awful. I did pick this as my lock, and I expected the Bears to cover at least, not to win outright, but to cover. So I'm going to go on a limb and say this will be a high-scoring game. Whatever weapons the Bears have will show up and give them a fight with the Jets. But I'll go with the Jets as well. I think the Jets will win. Like I said, they're not playing the Patriots, so they should win this game if they're not playing Belichick. Yeah. So Jets win, and the final score 30-27. I think the Jets, but I have the Bears covering. If it worked out that way, then here we go again. I have a pretty good chance I'm going to go 2-0 again. If this game goes the way I think it's going to go.
Yeah. Well, I need you to get a loss, man. I keep going 1-1, and I can't make up any ground when you're winning 2 every week. So.
Well, if this is the game my streak comes to an end, then this is the game that better happen. Because if it goes the way I think it could go, and like I said, my prediction is good with the score, you and Tom are going to have to come up with a different idea.
Well, what's the other game that you picked?
Chargers and Cardinals.
Oh, you picked the Chargers, right?
Yeah.
So
we'll get to that game here in a moment. But obviously, as we continue with our looking to the games, obviously for the Buccaneers, they're off coming off of a bye. They're on the road today, your other home team. Obviously, for Brady, he's going to play Cleveland, looks like one last time. The Browns, good news. This is the last game for Jacoby Brissett. If all things go well, Deshaun Watson returns next week. The only problem is, at 3-7, any chances of any play after January 8th seems unlikely. So, interesting matchup here. The Bucs looking for their third consecutive victory. The GOAT and the quarterback that was his backup in 2016. Go ahead.
All right. Well, yeah. This is Brady versus Brissett here, former teammates, back when Brady was suspended for the first 4 games of that one season after Deflategate. Brissett started 2 games and won 2 games for him for the Patriots back then. But like you said, Watson's back after this week. I don't know if he's officially allowed to come back Monday or Tuesday, but either way, he'll be back. And so this will pretty much be Brissett's last start, barring an injury to Watson. And kind of good news for me too, because a few weeks ago on one of my fantasy teams, I should say, my quarterbacks are a little bit weak, so I picked up and stashed Watson on my bench, so that's going to solidify my team. But with this one, one other thing that I they must have known how long that Watson was going to be suspended for a long time, because you look at next week, his first game back, and you know who they're playing is Houston, his former team.
Yeah.
It's like they planned it that way when they made the schedule,
It's a coincidence,
or it's just something that they knew he was going to be suspended for 11 games and said, okay, well, let's make sure to put Houston in game 12. But either way, one good thing you can say about Cleveland's offense is that they can run the ball. They're averaging 150 rushing yards per game, so that's good. The Bucs, though, two weeks ago, before their bye, they played in Germany against Seattle, and they actually got their running game going. They rushed for 160 yards, and Rashad White had 105 in that game. So if they start to commit more to their run, that could help that offense a lot, because Brady's 100 years old and he needs at least some help. But for this game, yeah, Brady versus Brissett, that's all you need to look at. Bucks aren't going to lose this one. So I got Tampa winning. Final score is going to be 31-16.
Yeah, it's interesting. While we're talking about, they're talking to Akeem Hicks and Vita Bay on a discussion here. Obviously, Tampa's defense is starting to get healthier, and that's obviously helping the team start to win games again. They're looking for their third straight win here today. Like I said, for the Browns, they're waiting patiently for the Deshaun Watson debut. for them, him to come back and play. But obviously they have to play one more game with Deshaun Watson. Not Deshaun Watson, but Jacoby Brissett at the helm. It's not been terrible, but it's not been good either. You know, the results haven't been what they expected. And being at 3-7, you know, it's not much to think, to look forward to for the rest of the year. But like I said, Nick Chubb has been one of the top runners. He's second in the league in rushing. And obviously that's helped Cleveland be very competitive in a lot of these games. But the problem is they're not winning many of these games. And Tampa's offseason coming, and they need all they need to try to put this division away. Atlanta's still threatening. But I'm going to go with the Bucs here as well. I think that Brady, who was 7-1 lifetime against the Browns in his career, will put another, will go 8-1 and move Tampa back over 500 for the first time in a while. So I think the Bucs will do what they have to do, and they'll get a comfortable win here. So I'm going with the Bucs and the final score, 30-22.
Okay.
All right, we're going to go to my other lock, of the week here, my other game I picked. The Chargers on the road here. They're playing the Cardinals. Like I said, both are coming off tough losses, obviously, in the division. But this is obviously Al's division. And like I said, things are just what they are right now. Like I said, this is my pick. I had them at 3. They came in as only a 3-point favorite, but I think that they'll cover that. But obviously, for the Cardinals, good news is apparently Call of Duty has been is put on the shelf, so Kyler Murray will be back in the lineup today. But rumors are going around about the head coach's job security. It's been starting to creep up here in the last few days in Arizona television and around the league. So questions about Cliff Kingsbury's long-term future is up in the air, even though he signed a deal recently. But, you know, this is a critical game for playoff chances, especially for the Chargers, who are just right on the outside of the AFC playoff picture. So, go ahead.
All right, well, yeah, this is two teams here that, you know, they give us some weird things with the way their records are. The Chargers, they're 1-3 in games that they lead at the end of the first quarter, but they're 3-1 at games when they're trailing at the end of the first quarter. And then, you know, Arizona, last year they weren't good either, but they're 1-4 at home this year. So, for some reason, Arizona can't win at home, and the Chargers can't hold the lead, but they come back. Arizona also has lost 3 of their last 4 games, but Kyler Murray's back. So that might help a little bit. The problem is they have a lot of injuries at receiver outside of DeAndre Hopkins. He's healthy, but Rondale Moore's out. Greg Dortch, their sort of backup slot receiver, he's out. Marquise Brown is eligible to come back off of IR this week, but you know, I'm not sure if he's even playing, and if he is going to play, how healthy he really is. So there's that. Mike Williams, though, on the other side for the Chargers, he came back last week and re-injured his ankle right away, so there's a question mark if he's going to play. So
Mike Williams?
Yeah.
He's out.
He is officially out?
That's why I'm here. He's not playing today.
Okay. So, you know, it's not like the Chargers are a healthy team either. And then the other thing...
Oh, I have breaking news.
What's that?
Sorry. The Bears... Trevor Siemian hurt himself during practice. So guess who's going to potentially start?
Who's that?
Nathan Peterman.
Oh, my God, dude. You're going to get
a
loss this week.
I'm screwed. You get the worst quarterback in all of football now.
I didn't even know that guy was still in the league.
Well, actually, he may not. He's still out there warming up, but they said he hurt himself in practice. We don't know if he's going to. We don't know if he's starting or not, but Peterman's his backup, so, All right, continue with this Cardinals Chargers. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, all good. The only thing, where am I at here? Yeah, the only other thing is for the Chargers, their defense, it's not too good, you know, and particularly against the run. They've allowed 150 yards or more rushing in four straight games. Too bad Cliff Kingsbury loves to pass the ball so much. But in the end, I got to go with the Chargers here. Arizona doesn't win at home. Kyler Murray is back, but who knows if he's 100%. All the injuries at receiver at Arizona. I think it's going to be a tough one for the Cardinals. And I think you're going 1-1 this week. So I'm going with the Chargers here. And I'm going to say final score is going to be 30-20.
Yeah, this might be the week I go 500 again. But like I said, I mean, still, if I get at least one win, that keeps me ahead for a little, you know, ahead of y'all here. It depends, like you said, you already lost the Giants Cowboys, but you're still stuck on the NFC East there. But anyway, to this matchup, like I said, I mean, the Chargers, they're obviously coming off a tough loss on Sunday night. Obviously, played the Rocket and Big Red. It's always going to be a battle, and it's a battle they can't find a way to beat to win. But obviously, they'll get together today. I think everything's going well. Though, the head coach, Brandon Staley, has been put on notice that there are rumors going around about his job security. And the fact that Sean Payton has been telling some people and some members of his ex-coaching staff that he's looking at the Chargers as a potential destination in 2023. He's looking like he will be back as head coach in this league next year, and he's looking at the Chargers as a potential suitor. So there's a lot of, you know, the Cardinals as well. So this is a game that could become the Sean Payton Bowl down the road if things go the way we think it could go. So a lot on the line here. Like I said, I mean, yeah, Hollywood Brown, he's coming off of the IR. We'll see if he plays or not. But obviously, there's a lot of people who are out this game, like you have mentioned. So right now, I'm going to go with the Chargers to win and obviously cover the 3. And the final score, 27-20. All right. One of the quietly hotter teams in the NFL that you don't want to know is the Washington Commanders. They have winners of the 4 of the last 5. Including beat the Eagles on a Monday night. They are looking to go now 2 games over 500, but they face your cousin, Marcus Mariota, and the Falcons today. Falcons trying to stay in this division race, obviously. We'll see what happens. But interesting matchup here, a game that I think here in Philly we will get to see. Let me see the thing here. Yep, that is the matchup you get to see here in Philly. So you don't get to see it because you have your Buccaneers playing here. So big matchup here for Washington. They continue to get back into this NFC East race as far as at least being in the playoffs. So interesting matchup here. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. So we're looking at a team here in Atlanta that is, you know, they're not the greatest team, but they are pretty surprising. And we already know about Geno Smith. Back when we did our predictions for the year for, like, awards and stuff, I kind of made up a fake award. I called it the Cordarrelle Patterson Award, which is, like, which we basically said was, like, some veteran that's kind of looked at as a bust in the NFL but comes from out of nowhere and has a big season. Sort of like Patterson did last year, and Geno Smith's the guy that's gonna that would win that award if there was one this year. But Marcus Mariota is under the radar, playing pretty well so far this year. He's thrown for 1,878 yards, 13 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and he's run for 372 and 4 touchdowns. He's got 3 games this year where he's both rushed and passed for a touchdown, which puts him close to the team record here. The team record for that in a single season is Michael Vick with 4. So he's right there. He's having a pretty good year, and he's keeping Atlanta competitive. And then Washington, they got a different quarterback from who opened the season. You know, Carson Wentz started the season as a starter, and Washington started off 1-4, but in the five games since Heineken took over, the Redskins are now 4-1. So they're getting hot. And they obviously, like you said, they beat the Eagles. But for this one, I mean, it's going to be a tight game, and this could go either way. I'm going to go with the upset here, though. I'm going to go with Atlanta. They're just they're a team that seems to surprise most weeks, and I think they're going to surprise people again. People are getting a little too hot on Washington here, and I think this is a game where they come back down to earth. So I'm going to go with Atlanta in the upset. The final score is going to be 24-23.
Yeah, this should be interesting. Plus, the weather's going to be a mess here on the East Coast. A lot of rain here today, and this game obviously will have a lot of wet rain to deal with. So that's the element. Like I said, the Falcons have been playing pretty decent ball here this year. Obviously, they're coming off a win, and like I said, things are going good here. Obviously, for Mariota, he's had a decent year. You know, all things considered, what this team was supposed to be doing, they have overachieved, like several teams around the league have this year. They have overachieved. I did not have them winning even more than four games, and here they are at 5-6. So, for their standards, it's good. And, like I said, we'll see what happens there. Washington will be wearing all black here today. And, obviously, like I said, for whatever reason, since Taylor Heineke took over, this team is an obviously contending team all of a sudden. They start 1-4. Since then, they are 5-1. So, I mean, obviously, things are going great for Washington. And this, like I said, this could be an interesting game. This is a tricky game, like you said. I could see Atlanta coming up here and winning. You know, I can't see that. But I just think that this Washington team, they're, I don't know what's going on. Obviously, the pass rush is one thing that's gotten better. They run the ball very well. So it's not like Heineke is just a lead quarterback. He's not. But it seems like with them, he's understandable. And we said, and I said this on Wednesday, I don't even know why they even traded for Carson Wentz. I feel like Taylor Heineke is a better quarterback for what Washington's doing anyway. You know, obviously Wentz is being a starting job because of his contract. That's the only reason. But at the end of the day, they're happy with Heineke. They're not going to go back to Wentz. At this point, I think Wentz is basically a bench player again. And we'll see what happens moving forward with him. But I got Washington winning this game. I do. And I think it will be a close battle. Not going to say it won't be a beatdown, whatever. So I got Washington winning and the final score 31-26. All right, we're going to go to the Monday night matchup next. Obviously, this is an interesting matchup here. You know, the Colts and the Steelers, two teams the Eagles have beaten, obviously. You know, the Steelers are coming off of a tough loss. Both are coming off of tough home losses. Like I said, this is a classic match. Like the Peyton Manning and Ben Roethlisberger had some good matchups over the years, but that's not the quarterback matchup anyway. But we'll see what happens here. It's just Saturday. Kirk returns to ESPN, but this time as a head coach, not as an analyst. And we'll see what happens here. But the critical matchup, obviously, for the Colts' playoff chances, they're still in the wild card chase. We'll see. But like I said, Pittsburgh is very close to being reduced to spoiler, something that a Mike Tomlin team normally isn't used to. So we'll see if they spoil the Colts' chances here on Monday night. So go ahead.
Yeah, well, this is a Monday night game, but this isn't a good game. The Steelers are terrible. The Colts, they seem to be turning their season around with Jeff Saturday. Obviously, they almost beat the Eagles last week. The Eagles got lucky to escape with the victory there. But they're playing a lot harder, and they're looking a lot better, especially with Matt Ryan back at quarterback. So in this one, the Colts are going to win this one. I don't see any way the Steelers can win. Their defense is terrible. Their offensive line is terrible. Kenny Pickett's a rookie behind a bad offensive line. That's not a good recipe for success. Colts win this one, final score is going to be 31-20.
Yeah, this is not a sexy matchup on paper. Obviously, these are two teams that are still learning and figuring each other out. Like I said, the Jeff Saturday entering his third game as a head coach. It's gone well. You know, he's 1-1, should be 2-0 in theory if it wasn't for Jalen Hurts at the end of that game. Like I said, a lot to be looking forward to moving forward. Even though they say the interim coach, I think that if the Colts can play at least 500 ball for him down the stretch, that could be good news for, you know, why not keep him around, you know? Like I said, Reggie Wayne is a Hall of Fame, you know, one of the learned today that he's one of 25 guys that could be announced as a Hall of Fame inductor come next year. He's on the coaching staff, and he obviously is very proud and very happy to work for Saturday, from what I've heard. So, you know, that's good there, that they're obviously teammates and have a lot of history as players together now as coaches. Yeah, for the Steelers, it's not going great. You know, like I said, this is the worst year as Mike Tomlin as a head coach. This is going to most likely be his first losing season as a head coach. He's never had a losing season. This is his 16th year. But you can't put it on him. You know, this is a team that's not built to contend this year. And obviously, they have a rookie quarterback that's still learning the ropes. But I expect this to be a competitive game, because neither team has any momentum right now. And I think it's going to go, I'll trust Indianapolis here. I think Indianapolis comes out and wins, you know, at the final score, 27-25.
Okay.
All right, we're going to go to a big matchup, and everybody seems that they fear the 49ers. Yeah, the 49ers are coming off a dominant victory on Monday night. But obviously, I'm still not buying that they are the biggest threat or a threat at all. For the Saints, like I said, Andy Dalton gets another start. Like I said, this really should be a unanimous pick, but, you know, there was an overruling and situation for the other, this other late afternoon game on Fox. So, like I said, it'll be interesting to see what happens. The Saints and the, you know, but the 49ers are back in the lead in the NFC West and are ready to start to make their push potentially for at least a 2 seed. That's pretty much what they could look at potentially down the road, but at least a 3 seed where they're at right now. So go ahead with this matchup.
Yeah, well, like you said, this could be one where that is like a unanimous pick, but not quite. But the, you know, with this one, the Niners have a lot of weapons on offense. Obviously, we know about them: McCaffrey, Debo, Ayuk, Kittle. Jimmy G isn't an elite quarterback or anything like that, but he's a capable guy that can get the ball out and deliver the ball, and he wins games. New Orleans, Andy Dalton. That's all you need to know about them. But one thing about San Francisco is their D. That D is tough, man. And their defense hasn't allowed a point in the second half of a game for the last 3 games. So I expect a tough one for Andy Dalton here. I do expect them to at least get a point sometime in the second half, so that streak might break. But nonetheless, it's going to be a tough one for Dalton and that Saints offense. So the Niners get the victory here. Final score is going to be 26-13.
Yeah, this is not going to be much of a contest. I mean, the Saints, you know, they're just trying to get by. Like I said, they obviously like Dalton over Winston. Winston's not happy about being the backup right now, and I don't blame him, because I think if he's starting, I think the Saints have a better record. But obviously, they like Dalton for whatever reason. We look at the 49ers, I mean, yeah, things are going pretty damn well. And their defense is one thing that's starting to get me. I mean, we already know how talented the offense is. But like you said, their defense is starting to dominate. And that could obviously cause friction and be a major threat in this conference as we head towards January. So I expect them to win. like I said, you were kind of nice to the Saints and say that they would at least score. But this, I see this as a blowout victory. I think the 49ers are going to go nuts here today. I think they're going to have a big win here. I don't think the Saints are going to do much here. So I got the 49ers winning pretty comfortably and big, and the final score 44-20.
Yeah, I was generous to the Saints, mainly because, like, I picked so many games as blowouts this week. I wanted to have, like, a couple closer ones. Not that 26-13 is exactly close either.
No, but it's not blowout either.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to go to my game of the week next. Obviously, this is a game, you know, I'm watching NFL today now. Obviously, this is a team we'll see next week. Tennessee and my favorite coach, Mike Vrabel. That's next week's matchup. Tennessee and Cincinnati. This is a rematch from January in the divisional round where Joe Burrow suffered the wrath of this defense with 9 sacks. He got sacked 9 times, but somehow they were able to take advantage of Derrick Henry that wasn't healthy and was just coming off of a major injury, and they won on a walk-off field goal to go to the AFC title game. So, obviously, this is a big matchup for both teams with postseason aspirations, because they're very well, these two teams again face each other in January, and who knows? This could be an interesting deal, but this is the game of the week. It makes sense, even though it's at 1 o'clock, but still, it's a great matchup of two playoff teams from a year ago, and most likely two playoff teams again this year. So go ahead.
Yeah, man. Well, this is actually a good game. This isn't going to be a blowout, at least not for my picks anyway. And you talk about two teams that are hot right at the moment. Cincinnati's won 4 of their last 5. Tennessee's won 7 of their last 8. As you mentioned, Cincinnati knocked Tennessee out of the playoffs last year. Tennessee had the number 1 seed and went 1-done. But Derrick Henry is actually healthy now. He leads the NFL coming into this week because Saquon Barkley already played. But coming into this week, Derrick Henry was leading the NFL in rushing. For Cincinnati, Ja'Marr Chase is out this week. It was looking like he could be back this week, but it looks like he's going to sit for at least one more week. So that's obviously going to hurt Cincinnati. And like you said, last year, Joe Burrow did take a beating in that playoff game, but they pulled out the win. Obviously, Cincinnati put a lot of resources into rebuilding that offensive line in the offseason, so I don't think he's going to get crushed like that. But he is going up against a tough defense, man. That Tennessee D is tough. They're number 1 in the NFL against the run, allowing just 60.4 yards per game. They got crushed by Buffalo back in Week 2, but since that loss, that defense is allowing just 15.4 points per game. So, you know, they're tough. They're tough. And then when you factor in Derrick Henry on the other side of the ball, this is a good team, man. They could make a playoff run, even though Ryan Tannehill is Ryan Tannehill. He's not great. This team can beat anybody in the league. And going up against Cincinnati as a revenge game on top of it, at home, I got to go with Tennessee here. So I'm going to get the Titans here in a tight one. Final score is going to be, I'm going to say, 27-23.
Well, like I said, I mean, this is going to be a big matchup here. Like I said, at 1 o'clock, which is sucks because this is the best game on paper in the ballot. But still, this is going to be interesting. Like I said, Cincinnati, after an 0-2 start, are 6-2 since then. And obviously, Burrow, he's playing pretty decent ball. And obviously, things are starting to come around here. Tennessee's still winning games, even though Tannehill, you know, he's been struggling with injuries. He's coming, he's back. He looks like himself again, allegedly. But they're winning despite of him, but not because of him. So we'll see what happens here, you know. But like I said, Derrick Henry is a very big X factor. He wasn't healthy when these two teams met in January. He was just coming off of a major injury. So basically, we would say, if you take away this, take away that game, he was basically out for the season after getting hurt last year. But he's back this year. He's running the ball as good as he always has. And like I said, it will be interesting to see what happens here. I mean, for Burrow, you know, like I said, he had nine sacks. He got sacked nine times in that playoff game, but somehow they were able to maneuver and was able to win that game. And hey, even though, yeah, there's no DeMar Chase, he is not playing today. We'll be out one more week. T. Higgins has obviously become a very important part of that offensive setup here. He's really taken off in Chase's absence. Last week, he had over 150 yards receiving on nine catches. And, you know, T. Higgins is a guy that, you know, he could be a Pro Bowler this year. Very much has Pro Bowl potential. So, you know, like I said, this team, like I said, Mixon is not playing today. Another big development. But I'm not worried about this. I think Cincinnati could go down to Tennessee and do it again. Because I don't trust Tannehill. Something about Tannehill I just don't trust right now. And, you know, like I said, if things don't go the way you would think it's going to go, I think it's going to go the other way. So I'm going to go against you here. I think Cincinnati's going to find a way to pull this off. I say in a walk-off field goal, similar to the playoff game. So I'm going to go with the Bengals and the final score, 27-24.
Okay. Well, one thing about Tannehill, though, is he is coming off last week his best performance of the season. He threw for 333 yards, so he's not playing bad either at the moment.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go. Oh, we have one more game. We have our game, Sunday night, big matchup. You know, like the Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. But like I said, I don't care what the record is. This is the game I'm a little worried about. I mean, obviously, Green Bay is a desperate team who's obviously struggled the last several weeks. They have lost six of their last seven games. But obviously, they're coming to Philly, where Aaron Rodgers has never lost in three previous matchups. For the Eagles, they haven't played great the last couple of weeks. They have barely gotten by with, you know, last week, and they lost to Washington on a Monday night, so a few weeks ago. So it should be interesting if they can get a game back together here against a Packers team that obviously looks like, you know, we don't know what to expect. We don't know if we're going to see the 4-7 or the team we thought we were going to see. Like, if you told me that the Eagles were 4-7 and the Packers were 9-1, more people would believe you than anything else I would say. But it's the other way around. So, interesting matchup. Also, for the first time ever, Eagles will be wearing black helmets as the alternate helmet of the year. And it's a blackout in South Philadelphia tonight. So, big matchup. Eagles looking for their 10th victory, which would be their first double-digit win season. It's a run. It's a Super Bowl run. So, big matchup here. Go ahead.
Yeah, man. Well, this is a big game, and it's the most important game of the week for us anyway. Really the only game that I truly care about. Eagles trying to keep things going, trying to keep that one-game lead over the Vikings, trying to keep their lead over the Cowboys and Giants. So, we need to get the victory here. Obviously, like you said, Aaron Rodgers, he is an all-time great quarterback. He'll be in the Hall of Fame. But he's not playing that great this year, and he doesn't have much talent around him. They got some nice running backs there, but they got barely anything at receiver. Now, Christian Watson, over the last few weeks, he has started to come on a little bit and made some big plays, but he's going up against one of the best secondaries in the NFL, and I don't think he's going to have a lot of success. And I don't think that Green Bay offense is going to have a lot of success. And then on the other side of the ball, that Green Bay defense, they are pretty good at stopping the pass, but as they've been for many years now, they can't stop the run. And we're talking about an Eagles team that they can run on anybody if they want to. It's just a matter of if Nick Sirianni and Shane Steichen actually call a run-heavy game. I think if they're smart, they will. I think they are smart, so I think they will. And I think the Eagles dominate the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, but especially on the offensive side. So, to me, big game out of Miles Sanders. Big game from Jalen Hurts running the ball. He'll do enough passing the ball to keep the offense moving as well. And no Dallas Goedert, but this week it's not going to matter. I think the Eagles dominate this line of scrimmage, and I think their defense plays like we expect them to. So for once, something we haven't seen for a few weeks now, we get a complete game, offense and defense on both play really good. So Eagles win. Final score, I got 34-23.
Well, like I said, this is going to be interesting. I mean, these two teams don't meet very often, which is hard to believe, but this is the first time the Packers have played in Philadelphia in 6 years, in 2016. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, it's not been a fun year. He has 7 interceptions, which is the most he's had in his season in 7 years. Obviously, yeah, he hasn't had the receivers. Like I said, none of the receivers have done anything worth mentioning. This is not a very good receiving core. And the defense, obviously, has been one of the more disappointing defenses in the league this year. Now, you did say they are one of the best against the pass, and that's good. But like I said, we can't stop the run. You can forget about it. And this is a run-first offense. As much as we pass the ball early in downs and early in the game, this is a run-first offense. You know Jalen Hurts runs the ball, and you know Bowie Miles can run the ball. So if they exploit that, then you're right. This probably does look like it's going to be a beatdown. But like I said, I'm not going to back down to Aaron Rodgers. He's still Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, he's got the broken thumb and all this other BS injury he claims he has. But he's still out there playing, and he still can throw the ball, and he can still, you know, he still has all the tool set to take over games like he has many times in his legendary career. But obviously, against the Eagles, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting tonight to see what he can do. I think this is going to be a battle for a while. I think for 3 quarters, these two teams will go at it. We'll go back and forth. But I do agree with you. I think the Eagles are the better team. We're obviously at the top of this conference and probably at the top of this league. We have the best record. We started this week with the most wins and the least losses. So, but I think they're going pretty damn well. But we'll see what happens. Obviously, you know, the tight end is obviously lacking. We didn't have much of any help yesterday. But that guy, number 81, Grant, whatever his name is, Carmera, whatever his last name is, he obviously has to step up a little bit. I mean, Lance Stroll has been catching balls here the last couple of weeks, even with Goddard. But obviously, they have to do better with tight end. Try to at least get them into the game. At least, I'll say this: Tyree Jackson's also been activated. I say he gets a touchdown in this game, just to rub it in. So I think it's going to be a battle, but I think the Eagles are going to hold them off. I think that at the end, the Eagles will be in control, and they will win this game to go to 10-1 and continue their ascension. Like I said, next week is a big matchup with Tennessee coming to the link. Obviously, that's a much more tougher opponent because of where they're at. So I'm going to go with the Eagles as well. They win this game, and the final score, 29-20.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all we have for this episode. I said, Matt, for all y'all know, Matt will produce this episode moving forward on Sundays. But obviously, Kwame will be back on Wednesday to join us, and we'll produce the look back on Wednesday. And we'll obviously look back on this Eagles game. do they tame Aaron Rodgers, or does Aaron Rodgers have one more wake-up move left in him? But I said a lot to look over and look into, look forward to on Monday's look back. But Wednesday's look back. But a lot to look forward to today. Y'all enjoy the games, and, you know, we'll enjoy it as well. And we will talk to y'all.